This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Radio Network, it's the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. Good to be with you today. Matt Patrick here today. I've got a treat for you coming up here in the 4 o'clock hour. A long time ago, I used to have a producer named Brian Highhill. He is actually going to join us today. He records music under the name Lumpy, and he's getting some press. He's starting to get out there, so I said, Brian, why don't you come on back, man? And he's going to. So in the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to talk with Brian Highhill, a.k.a. Lumpy, about his music and how much he misses working with me. Ha, Patrick. You remember those? Were you ever here when Brian was here?
I think he was gone long before I got here.
I think screaming, running down Valley View Road here, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember correctly. Are you... I have some friends right now who are basically beside themselves. Are you a big Harry Potter fan?
I was not. And I know where this news is going. I mean, certainly a sad news item today.
Yeah, Robbie Coltrane, the comedian who, of course, is forever going to be known as Hagrid from the Harry Potter movies, has died. He was 72 years old. My gosh, so when was the last one of those movies out? Was that...
I think it was 2011.
So he did that all into his 60s then. Coltrane's agent, Belinda Wright, said he died Friday at a hospital in his native Scotland, but did not have immediate other details. She called him forensically intelligent, brilliant, witty, and just some of the many tributes made to him. Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling, who decades ago had said Coltrane was her first choice to play Hagrid, tweeted Friday that it was incredible talent, a complete one-off. It was beyond fortunate to know him, work with him, and laugh my head off with him. Born at Anthony Robert McMillan in Ruthenglen, Scotland. Coltrane in his early 20s, began pursuing an acting career and renamed himself in honor of the jazz musician John Coltrane. He already had a notable screen career. His credits included Mona Lisa, Nuns on the Run, and Kenneth Branagh's adaption of Henry V, where he broke through on his own as a hard-bitten detective of Cracker in 1990's TV series, for which he won Best Actor at the British Academy Television Awards 3 years running. He went on to appear in all 8 Harry Potter movies, the young wizard's mentor, and had a wide variety of other parts, including Russian crime boss, that's right, and GoldenEye, and The World Is Not Enough. Pip's guardian, Mr. Yeager's in the 2012 adaptation of Dickens' Great Expectations. And more recently, he received rave reviews for playing a beloved TV star who may harbor a dark streak, secret in the 2016 miniseries National Treasure. His Nuns on the Run co-star, Eric Idle, tweeted that he'd been talking about Coltrane, wondering where he was when he learned of his passing. Such a bright and brilliant man, a consummate actor, extraordinarily funny comedian. An amazing actor. He was also a very good friend. Wright said Coltrane is survived by his sister, Anna Ray, his wife, and children. I know. There are a lot of friends of mine just, you know, I love the Harry Potter films. I've read the books. I've loved the audiobooks done is spectacular. But the movies are... You know, that was that generation. And there is, I have a lot of friends who are now in their 30s who are just, you know, they're kind of beside themselves today because, Hagrid was, you know, such a great character in those movies. And very sad. I was watching Star Trek last night, not the original. I was watching the reboot with Chris Pine, and I was watching Carl Urban, who plays McCoy in there. And I realized, you know, one of the things that's really amazing about the original Star Trek cast is that, you know, DeForest Kelly was Bones in the original TV series. So what Carl Urban is really doing is playing DeForest Kelly playing McCoy, which is truly remarkable. You're such an iconic role that you basically, you can't change it at all. You have to do that again. And I don't know if there's anyone, could anyone do Hagrid, you know, in any other way than if you, if say someone, you know, this is the way they always do it, in 30 years or so, someone will say, we need to redo these and make it 25 films. And someone, so someone was is going to do it. Is there any way you could do Hagrid without actually just mimicking Robbie Coltrane doing Hagrid? You know what I mean? I don't think you could.
Certainly be very, very difficult.
One of the better characters from that. So anyway, very, very sad. If you are, you know, very tore up about that, all my, I'm all my best on that. So I want to talk about two things that relate to one topic. I am not going to be here next week. Don't worry. No, don't worry. It's nothing bad. Just the illegal pandas are smuggling in from China are finally here. Finally. I mean, a few weeks late, hopefully still breathing. We'll find out. Anywho, no, I'm going to take some time off. Now, if you're in the Wisconsin side, you may not know that Minnesota's got this really weird thing called MEA weekend, where it's basically the teachers union's conference every year. It happens about mid-October, usually ties in with hunting season and stuff like this. And it is actually turned into a major travel weekend in Minnesota. So a lot of people do some traveling. I'm just going to take some time off. I'll get to the traveling part here in just a second, but I wanted to take some time because I have zero doubt, especially for the fine folks in Wisconsin who are listening to the show, you're going to be saying to me, wait a second, Mr. McNeil, we've only been listening to you since July, and you took a vacation in August, you took a day off here, now you're going to be gone another week, and yep, I am. I'm also going to be taking some time off the holidays, but we got something special we always do every year for the holidays. I'll save that for a later date. That being said, last year, I nearly died. I know. My kidneys basically decided to, protest the rest of me. I had something where basically through a cavalcade of steps, I was retaining water at an obscene rate. And it had to do with my kidneys, and they weren't processing proteins and blah, 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 blah. Eventually, just I couldn't stop it. It was scary. I had gained an insane amount of weight. It's called minimal change disease. And the thing which is weird about it is usually it affects kids who are teenagers. As a matter of fact, my nephrologist, the kidney specialist that I went to, and if you need a name, I got a really good kidney guy. He's fantastic. And the nephrologist, he basically said, if you were 18 years old, I wouldn't even need to do a biopsy or anything on you. I know exactly what this is, but I'm not 18 years old. And it's not extremely uncommon to happen to a person who's older in life. But that's what happened. By the grace of God, and I think by the whisper-thin margin of half a hair, I did not get water into my lungs or into my heart. And if that would have happened, I would have been in big trouble. Unfortunately, it didn't get that far. Unfortunately, though, it was tough. It was very tough. We got through it, though. And the good news is because they jump-started my kidneys, and I'm they're working fine. The MCD is in remission. I'm okay. Go team, go. But it was for me and my wife and my family, it was kind of a moment where we stopped. And I think that this is very common. Yesterday we had my friend Katie Tessman on, singer, in the 4 o'clock hour, and she talks about her journey fighting cancer. She had breast cancer, and she's you know been free of it for 13 years. God bless her, and she's out performing music. And so we got a chance to talk with her about that. it's fairly common, I think, for a person when they all of a sudden have a serious health crisis to stop and step back. My wife and I have been fairly we're fairly frugal people. We're not flashy people. Sweet Jesus, if you're looking at the live stream of this show, I think that's pretty apparent. It's like I'm not exactly flashy. I'm wash and wear. I'm slacker casual. That's who I am, okay? But my wife and I made the decision that what was the point of saving for retirement and all this stuff if one of us might be alone? And so we made the conscious decision last year to take a few more vacations this year than we had in a while. Now, here's the good news for everyone out there, or bad news if you can't stand me. This is pretty much a one and done. I mean, I've already looked at her. It's like, I'm looking at the checkbook here. What's this zero thing I'm seeing here? We're doing this with 1 year. But this is why, if you're wondering why, I have taken some time off and I'm about to take another week off. It's because basically I'm enjoying life. I'm enjoying life. And that doesn't mean $1 million in Vegas. That means going for a walk with my wife and looking at the beautiful fall colors. That means going and hiking by a lake. That means spending time with my kids, hearing my children laugh, playing with my dog, sitting in a comfortable chair, going to an art museum and seeing fantastic pieces of art, or going to a musical show and seeing a great band. That's what I'm doing right now. Going and picking apples. My gosh. Love that. Apple picking. So, yes, I'm the first to admit I've been taking a little time off. I'm going to take another week off. I'll be back actually on the Tuesday, the 25th. But it's because if I can teach you anything, make sure you appreciate what you got, because we all get one spin on this rock. And so make sure you take advantage of it while you're here. We'll take a break. Come on back. I'll get to the other side of this in just a second. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Broadcasting live on Air Support Radio at 98.3 Oshkosh and 1100 AM WISS in Berlin. Also, locally grown radio WFHR 1320 AM and 97.5 FM, Wisconsin Rapids, Stevens Point, and Devil Radio 92.7 FM in Madison, WTTN 1580 AM in Columbus, as well as the flagship in Minneapolis, St. Paul, AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday, 952-946-6205. So I was talking about MEA weekend up here in Minnesota, where it is big business. And you want to know how freaking big it is? You want to know why I'm not taking a flight this year? I went to try to look for a flight to fly from Minneapolis, St. Paul, which is a hub for Delta, to Atlanta, which is the hub for Delta, $640 a ticket, and that was the cheap ones. That is gouging deep and long right there. Reminder, airlines say they're having a tough time. Please. What? Gosh, now I get it. First of all, I love when I can watch an old movie which has an airport scene and just kind of the glorified bus nature of airline travel in like the 1960s and 70s. One of the great movies about that is The Verdict. You ever watch that when he takes the plane ride from Boston to New York, walks right up to the gate, fills out a ticket right there, hands it to him, just walks on the plane.
I have not seen that movie.
Go see it's one of the best legal movies ever, ever. Paul Newman, brilliant. But you might as well just have like a heater in his mouth. Yeah, I'm there to take the flight. Fair, whatever. It's a very different process than it is today. But I remember, back in the 80s and when I was high school, and then when I came back from the military, you could come into town and you were a young person. You wanted to go fly somewhere. Geez, you could fly to Chicago. They had like $79 flights. It was great. You know, fly to Chicago and back. Easy. You could go do that. It is amazing how much it costs now to jump on an airplane. And especially – now, I have zero doubt and I noticed this when I started looking around. If I was to say leave 2 days ago and then come back like 3 days after, you know, closer to Halloween, yeah, it's like $200 a ticket. But because the MEA weekend here in Minneapolis-St. Paul is going on, it's just gouge it out. Now, people are going to say, well, Matt, that's inflation. Inflation, Matt. Gosh, it's inflation. And so, aren't you Joe Biden? Blah. You know, that sort of thing. Okay, let me explain something, too. It's not inflation if companies are having record profits, okay? It's not inflation if per quarter you're clearing nine figures, okay? Per quarter in profit. That's not inflation, folks. That's plain old-fashioned greed. It is one of the original sins, greed. And it is plainly greed. I mean, we've talked about this with grocery stores. You're going to a grocery store. I noticed this. Did I talk about this with vanilla, Patrick? I went to the grocery store, and you used to be able to buy like pure vanilla. It's like I'm doing some baking. And it was like $13 for the thing. But it was, you know, like a pint or so, maybe a little bit more. Now, it's same $13. The package is about half the size it was before.
Yeah, I know you've talked about this before, and I've kind of noticed it, too, with some stuff, too.
God bless Spam. God bless Spam. I'm a Spam fan, folks. God, they still have the same packaging. God bless them. Keeps me going at night. Anyway, they are doing this, and you'll notice it all of a sudden. It's especially the one thing that's really kind of a pain in the tuchus is you do a recipe, and the recipe says you need like a 16-ounce can, and you can't find one. They're all now 14.2 ounces or something like that. It's like, what are you supposed to do? That's a full ounce. That is enough to alter the recipe. Do I get two cans and then just basically throw out one? No. That's what they're hoping. But if this was inflation, I'm not saying companies would not be making a profit, but they wouldn't be making obscene profits. And this is the argument they're making is, well, gas is more expensive, but yeah, but you're still clearing nine figures, high nine figures, in profit after your expenses. This is not your revenue, it's your profits. Delta Airlines expects to post another profit the last quarter of the year and said both leisure and business travel continue to recover, brushing off concerns over shakiness of the economy. Global demand is continuing to ramp as consumers shift spending to experiences, business return to travel, international markets continue to reopen. And I know part of this is just those last two things. People who used to travel for business, who need to travel for business, are going back out to travel for business. I get that. And people are want to go out and experience some things, and they're able to do that. The Atlanta-based airline was the first U.S. carrier to report third-quarter results, and its upbeat forecast contrasts with strains on other industries, like some retailers and worries about high inflation. Delta shares were added 4% on Thursday, outpacing the broader market. For the third quarter, Delta reported net income of $695 million, or, you know, they're going through the shares here. Now, once again, their total revenue was $900, but after taxes was $695. The income, net income, $695. And that's their income after expenses. So you paid for the planes, you paid for parking at the airport, you paid for the fuel, you paid for the staff. Delta posted earnings per share of 1.51, while adjusted revenue came in at $12.8 billion. That's their revenue. It was $12.8 billion. They still made near $700 million in income. That's not inflation. Once again, I'm not saying if it was inflation, they should be losing money, although I wouldn't be surprised if that was truly inflation. But the reality is this inflation is disguising something much more that's going on. It's plain greed. And it's not fair to call it inflation. It's not fair for corporate executives to basically be saying, we're going to gouge the crap out of our customers, charge them a ton of money, and then blame inflation when it's not blaming inflation. You're basically just greedy. We're not in this together. They're kicking our ass, as they've done for a while now. And this is not the only industry. And don't get me wrong, there are some industries which definitely inflation is taking a toll. Paper industry, I know, is had some supply issues and has had a little more troubles there. But there's a lot of industries, and I mean a lot of industries, where they're sitting and bellyaching and acting like, we can't make it. And then comes their quarterly profits, and it's like, $500 million in profit? Hey, that seems like you're making it. Seems like you're not exactly living check to check there. And once again, that's after all their expenses. It's not Joe Biden's fault. It's the good old-fashioned greed, one of the seven deadly sins, and we see it on display now. But now the reality is, because of politics, people don't want to look at the company and say, well, it's not inflation if you're just gouging us. Instead, they say, Joe Biden's to blame. Yeah, Joe Biden's to blame for those executive salaries, I guess. And that's what you're trying to say. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Broadcasting on the Civic Media Radio Network, it's the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It's time for a brand new segment here on the show called What the Hell, Lacrosse? What is going on in La Crosse, Wisconsin? It's interesting because across the river on the Minnesota side, that's one of the areas that's, I'm not saying it's turning, metro area blue, but they have been moving a little more away from the conservatives and becoming much more of toss-up territory on the Minnesota side of the Mississippi River, on the southern side of Minnesota and kind of the eastern side of the western side of Wisconsin. And so, but I mean, I have had more stories over the last 3 years of just crazed psychopaths out of La Crosse, far-right extremists who are, like, looking for blood sacrifice. I mean, what in the hell, La Crosse? And before you get mad at me, you need to clean up your own damn house, man. You guys got some problems. Our first story from What the Hell, La Crosse, today, WIZM, reported that Dan Parisey, the co-owner of Popcorn Tavern in La Crosse, has resigned after his racist and anti-Semitic text messages were exposed on social media. The texts were posted from a former manager of the tavern and dated April, although the year is not exactly clear. In the thread, Parisey, who is listed as the bar's website as co-owner with his dad, Dave Parisey, used racist language, including the N-word, as another manager is inquiring about hiring someone who happens to be black. Some of those texts stated, "No way we're turning into a black bar, and how many times do I have to tell you guys we don't hire..." It's not the N-word, it's the C-word that they used to put on top of, like, water fountains to, yeah. He said this recently, not 30 years ago, not 40 years ago, but recently he used that term. And he had then followed up with, "as long as they're not black or Jewish." Wow. After the text messages were leaked, Popcorn Tavern's page issued a statement that read, "Dan Parisey has already resigned from the Popcorn Tavern." He's the co-owner. How is he resigning? Did he sell? They go on to say, "his words in no way reflect the feelings of our establishment or space." Popcorn's also attributed Parisey's racist rants into mental illness. What? Due to multiple brain injuries, Dan Parisey continue to deteriorate his ability to properly think and filter his words, and does have a direct impact on his cognitive daily function. So, their excuse is he hit his head and became racist. No. It's not like I could whack my head tomorrow and say, you know what? I really love Young Gravy. No, it's not going to happen. That's not how it works. That's, come on. No, he's just racist. And I'm not saying that his cognitive abilities might have deteriorated, but what the cognitive ability that's deteriorated is his ability to keep his private feelings on these issues quiet and not text them out. Because funny, his mental illness, this deterioration, hasn't stopped him from running a restaurant or texting people. No, those, he still has all those abilities. It's just now he got hit in the head and now he's a racist. That's the argument. No! And once again, and I'm going to be blunt, the amount of crap like this coming out of La Crosse, Wisconsin right now is disturbing, is really disturbing. I don't think it's, has there been a massive head wound incident in La Crosse that I didn't know? Was like the city walking down the street and there was a board that was too low and, you know, they all kind of went down and all of a sudden, whacked their head, and they all woke up racist. Is that what happened? Because I don't think that's science. Stop. Just before anyone else tries to do this, well, he hit his head, and now he's racist. No, his ability to basically not let his internal personal feelings be exposed out is what happened. You don't become racist or anti-Semitic because you got injured, okay? It just doesn't happen like that. After the text messages were leaked, Popcorn's Facebook page issued a statement there. Due to multiple brain injuries, Dan Paisley considered the ability to properly think and filter his words. In a second post, Popcorn wrote, and what appeared to be Parisi himself assessing the company's account. You guys can say all you want about me. I'm not, never have been, never will be a racist. I think we could risk that in a court of law. That I think that the average. I love when racists who are caught being racists suddenly now insist, no, I'm not racist. Yeah, you are. Yeah, you're saying these. Did you say these things? Yeah, then no, that's pretty racist. It's like that woman out in the South Dakota at that hotel out in way out west out there. Oh, I can't remember the name of the town out there. All of a sudden, where Mount Rushmore is at, and all that stuff. That she basically went after Native Americans. And, of course, almost immediately says, I'm not racist against them. Yeah, you are. You can't say stuff like this and then argue, oh, it's not there. You know, the problem that you have is you want to be able to scream the N-word. And then when people say you can't do that, that's offensive. You basically try to make the argument, oh, it wasn't, that wasn't me. That's not who I really am, but yeah, kind of it is. That kind of it is. You know, we just had the right wing try to once again insist that Columbus Day is going to be Fetch, and Fetch is going to happen. Fetch is not going to happen. Columbus Day is not going to happen. Because once again, the guy might have been kept the cleanest ships in the entire fleet. He might be a scratch 300 bowler. He's amazing. You should watch him when he knocks down the pins. He makes the greatest Caesar salad you've ever had in your life. but Columbus still kidnapped 9- and 10-year-old Native girls and used them as sex currency. That'd be a third grader. That would be a third grader. That would be taking third graders and selling them as sex currency. That's Christopher Columbus. That's who that guy is. You can try to make the argument that I'm not really that bad. You're bad. There's no getting around that. There's no getting around that. That's who you are. And by the way, all you Republicans out there who are like, Christopher Columbus was here. Christopher Columbus stole what would be the equivalent of a third grader and sold them or gave them away as sex currency. That's the guy you want a statue to. Are you going to put it right next to Epstein's statue? You brought it on yourself, you jackasses. You did. Learn the freaking history before you go out there and praise the individual. My God. But, I mean, this is the case. And people, they all, it's like, oh, he's not that bad. Well, you kind of. Hey, I like Mel Gibson. You know, his movies in the early 80s when I was there, Lethal Weapon, all those. And then the guy became anti-Semitic. And I really can't enjoy those movies anymore. I used to. But every time he's on the movie, I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess I'm not watching this one again. Yeah, that's can't get past that. And that's what it is. And I have the right to basically be able to kind of do this. You can sit there and say, oh, I'm not racist. Yeah, you're kind of, your actions kind of match up with it. He went on to say, those of you who actually know me know I stand up for BLM, women's rights, including women's right to choose, LQBT, leaving the G out of there. Community and popcorn always has. It was really stupid of me to even write that. I'm sorry I did. You didn't write one. It sounds like you wrote multiple things. You did. The incident comes amid a number of well-publicized scandals around local leaders and business people having racist private conversations exposed. What the hell, LaCrosse? By the way, I got another what the hell, LaCrosse in a second, but let's go to David in California. He wanted to chime in on Columbus. Welcome on in, David.
Oh, how are you, Matt? Yeah, long time no talk.
Yeah, good to hear you.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to read, I think it was the Diary of Americus Vespucci, and you know that Columbus was arrested after the third voyage because he was so brutal to the natives. He had basically ruined his opportunity to have a colony there. Spain had, I'm not sure if he had killed everybody on the island of Hispaniola, but he had done such a complete job of ruining the reputation of the visiting sailors that there was no way that they were going to have an easy way to have a colony out there.
And David, if I can step on in, thank you, David. I appreciate the phone call. And he's exactly right. Things were so bad that even in 1490s, 1500s morality, they looked at him and said, oh my God, you're a monster. They even did that themselves. He himself, when presented with the evidence, admitted to his crimes. But he's the Republican hero. That's what you guys love. Number two on what the hell, LaCrosse? The University of Wisconsin LaCrosse's College Republicans saw its chairman resign this Wednesday after the members endorsed anti-Semitic language used by rapper Kanye West. Channel 3000 reports the UWL College Democrats Twitter account posted images of sidewalk chalk drawings allegedly done by the College Republicans, one of which read, Kanye was right, DEFCON 3. Now, once again, Kanye West wrote DEFCON 3. Thinking, you know, but still, it was very anti-Semitic. They tried to correct it. For some reason, the Wisconsin LaCrosse College Republicans said, you know what, we're going to fix this and just call it with DEFCON 3. It doesn't make it any better. It really doesn't. In reference to West's tweet where he said he's going to go to DEFCON 3 on Jewish people. In a statement posted to social media, Megan Pauley said she was immediately resigning as the group's leader, saying she was disgusted and appalled to see the actions some of our members took, and then posted to social media, meaning that multiple members of the University of Wisconsin-LaCrosse College Republicans thought that anti-Semitic language was okie-dokie with them. She added, anti-Semitism has no place in the organization. The images were originally posted. Now, by the way, you're saying, well, Matt, so the college Democrats say that those chalk drawings came from them. How do you know that they weren't just someone else? Maybe they're just jumping to conclusions. That's what it is. Funny story. Well, not funny. It's anti-Semitic. The images were originally posted on the College Republicans Instagram page, but funny, since then, were deleted and replaced with a post condemning anti-Semitism. Aha. And once again, if I could make a point, that indeed the head of the College Republicans at UW-LaCrosse has resigned. He's been long one of the entertainment industry's most polarizing figures, but his recent actions, included anti-Semitic comics and white supremacist messaging, have alienated fans and business partners alike. I think it might be best if really he does kind of, you know, go away fairly quickly. That would be kind of nice. It really would. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. We'll take a break. Come on back. Oh, Ron Johnson got booed. That's right. Time for a 3 second Johnson when we do return. Nobody's ever gonna notice. Broadcasting live on Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 98.9 FM, 1230 AM in Wausau. Lake Air, WXCE 1260 in Amory. And on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, the Shaw, Waukesha, Milwaukee proper, as well as also AM 950, the progressive voice in Minnesota, up in Minneapolis, St. Paul. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. So, just in case you missed it, for all you people out there are saying, is Matt saying something dirty? Senator Ron Johnson said he participated apparently in an attempted overthrow of government, but only did so for a few seconds, which is where we come up with the nickname 3 second Johnson. You put the ball on the tee, I'm swinging. Okay, so let's get an update on your favorite Wisconsin senator, 3 second Johnson. Republican Senator Ron Johnson was booed by members of the audience during his second debate against Democratic opponent for Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Barnes on Thursday night. Some people in the crowd loudly booed the U.S. Senator from Wisconsin when he responded to a question about what he found admirable about Mandela Barnes by accusing the Democrat of being against America. Johnson, who has been endorsed by former President Insurgency, has been favored to win re-election when the midterms take place weeks from now. At least, I'm telling you right now, I think these Republicans, that Roe v. Wade overturning is going to, that's going to be 5-10 points. So I think that I'm especially considering that Ron Johnson, apparently, for a while at least, now he says he did it longer. He was actually trying to overthrow the government for a little bit longer than it was. But 3 second Johnson did apparently try to partake in the overthrowing of democracy. tell everyone to vote. Seriously, Wisconsin, everyone votes. If everyone votes, Democrats win. Part of what the Republicans are doing right now is trying to discourage you from voting. Because the only way they win is if a large contingent of Democrats do not vote. So, every Democrat votes. Call your friends, call your family members, call your coworkers, call everyone you know. Ask them, are you registered to vote? Do you know where you need to vote? Do you need to get a ride to the polls on election day? Do you want to vote early? How you want to do it? You need to get out there and be proactive, because it's a turnout game. It always is. It's just that simple. If every Democrat votes, Republicans lose. So there you go. And who wouldn't want to vote out this guy? At the end of Thursday's debate, the candidates were asked what they found admirable about their opponent, with Barnes saying that the senator was a family man and added that it's absolutely to be respected. He speaks about his family. He's done a lot to provide for them. I absolutely respect that. So, once again, the Democrat did the decent thing. Johnson responded to the same question, initially appearing to praise Barnes before turning to criticism. I appreciate the fact that Lieutenant Governor Barnes had loving parents, a schoolteacher father who worked through shifts, so he had a good upbringing. Okay. Now, I'm going to stop. That seems to be a bit backhanded, if you ask me. That, you know, kind of a way, you know, yeah, there's some dog whistles in that one, okay? There are. This is when Ron Johnson went from the dog whistles off the rails. I guess what puzzled me about this is, with that upbringing, why has he turned against America? Ron Johnson went on. He's so against America, he wants to actually be one of the senators. I think that's actually kind of the opposite of being against America, as opposed to, I don't know, someone who for a few seconds thought about overthrowing the government, right? 3 seconds, Johnson? You know, why did you do that, you traitorous bastard? Why? Why, Ron Johnson? Why did you do that? Why do you hate America? Why did you make the founding fathers cry? Why? Why? You disgusting man. Anyway. The comment elicited loud boos as the crowd, as Johnson tried to continue with his remarks. Earlier in the debate, Johnson elicited some laughter from the crowd. I can't do that joke. I can't do that one. But he elicited some laughter from the crowd, and he said it had cost more money not to build the wall along the U.S.-Mexico border than it would have cost to build it. What? Now, once again, you might, if you're listening in Wisconsin, we did a whole show a few years ago about the cost of Trump's border wall. And doing the exact math, the engineering, the building of roads that you would have to, the maintenance of said roads, because, you know, roads do, you need to get maintained on a fairly regular basis. You would have to have to build these, you'd have to have electricity and water piped out to the middle of freaking nowhere. And it was billions and billions of dollars. And I think we ended up somewhere around $3 trillion to build this wall, because just there's large swaths of America. If you're going to build a border wall, that you actually have to build roads out to, because it's in the middle of freaking nowhere. But that didn't stop them. They, reminder about Republicans, they gutted the housing budget for the military. They gutted the housing budget for the military to basically build their vanity project. And most of it, I believe, has fallen down already, because they went with the cheapest guy so some Republican donor could get a payback. That's what happened. So, no, it didn't cost more to not build the wall than it would cost to build it. As a matter of fact, it was much less expensive to not build the wall than to build it. The senator also drew laughter from the audience when he said the FBI set me up with a corrupt briefing and then leaked that to smear me in response to a claim of criticism from Barnes. Because that's all the FBI has to do all these days is find a Wisconsin senator and torment me. Oh, poor little Ronnie. Oh, I think 3 second Johnson's a little deflated. Sorry. I'm sorry. Penalty box, timeout. Hey, Ron. Here, kitty, 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 kitty. Let me spank you around a little bit more, you absolute jackass. Oh, they're after me. That's Ron Johnson. That's your sitting U.S. senator, by the way. That's your sitting U.S. senator.
Oh, they're after me. Oh, no, I was only trying to overthrow the government for a few seconds. Oh.
Proud day, Republican Wisconsinites. In 2020, the FBI briefed Johnson that he was a target of disinformation effort by Moscow aimed at making the senator useful to Russia. I believe did Johnson call Russia after that to see if it was true? Sorry. You're a horrible, horrible man. Johnson did confirm that he'd been briefed on the matter. On Thursday, Johnson said he'd been trying to uncover and expose the corruption at the FBI over that remark. Well, you know, if you're looking for the call, maybe it's coming from Moscow. You know what they mean there. Hey, Ron, it's me, Bob. I want to tell you, I've got big hint here. You need to be against Ukraine. Big friend, go time, go. Okay? Following the debate, Johnson campaign issued a press release calling the senator the clear winner of the second debate. Well, 3 Second Johnson, always quick to respond faster than he probably should. But, you know, we'll save that for another day. I'm sure the folks at Devil Radio will have some things to talk about. If you're in Wisconsin, Devil Radio is coming up next. Minneapolis, St. Paul, Hour 2, coming your way. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, hour number 2 of the show. Brian Highhill, producer Brian, used to be here with us. He's goes in the musical world as Lumpy. We used to know Hennepin, the Hennepin Millionaires Club. He was part of that. Part of a lot of things. We talked about some of his music for a while there. He's getting good press. He's got a few albums out. We'll talk about these things with Brian. He's going to return, and we'll talk about what lessons he learned from me. Don't do a damn thing I ever did. How about we do that? Patrick, you know, someday you'll return, and when you're having far more success, and I'll be like, hey, it's Patrick's back. Patrick, first of all, I want to give an update on one story that we were talking about a few times. They have now determined that indeed the fires that happened at the John H. Stevens house in Minneapolis, all three of them were arson. Now, I think it was pretty clear by the time we got to the third one what was going on. Three fires have broken out in the house located at Minnehaha Falls Regional Park since August 30th. On Thursday's release, the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board Police Department called the incidents arson, offered a $5,000 reward for information on the person or people involved. The most recent fire occurred on October 1st when crews found heavy fire coming from the rear corner of the building. The fire also extended through the first and second floors of the exterior and the chimney. Putting out the fires required extensive overhaul, which often includes opening up walls, ceilings, and voids. The other fires occurred September 20th and August 30th. All three fires were reported in the early hours of the morning. So someone's trying to torch the building. And, I don't know what freaking message you think you're sending, but I'll just tell you, arson is wrong and bad. You don't burn down things. Okay? How about that? And frankly, as dry as it's been, I think we're lucky that half the freaking Minnehaha Falls Park didn't burn down because some idiot there is trying to, I don't know if it's teenagers, I don't know if it's someone with an agenda, I don't know. It could be just a homeless person who's trying to say, well, I don't know. But needless to say, I don't care who it is, someone needs to go to jail on this. Have you ever done, Patrick, the one chip challenge, is it PAQUI? PAQUI? Have you ever done this?
I have not done this.
This is something I mentioned last year when I first saw it. It is one potato chip or nacho chip or whatever it is. One. They sell it as one. It's like $4. So someone's figured out how to really, you know. Yeah, inflation. Yeah, sure it is. Or fools. It's apparently just insanely hot. I think they use ghost peppers on it. And so the one chip challenge is, I bet this is going to hurt. Now, I often think of the comedian who years ago put out the joke. He was talking about how it's funny. You get a piece of pizza. It's a hot piece of pizza. You put it in your hand. It's kind of burning your hand. So what do you do with it? I put it in my mouth. It's a bad idea. Yeah, you wonder why we would burn the roof of our mouths. But this is even more sinister. And apparently this has led to a lot of problems. Our latest problem is at an Edina middle school, where multiple students at an Edina middle school were treated for sickness this week after they took part in the one chip challenge. Edina Public Schools sent out an email to families Thursday addressing the incident at Southview Middle School, during which some students experienced significant eye pain after chip dust on their fingers made contact with their eyes. An ambulance was also called in response to some students having difficulty breathing. Boy, how do I get involved in this contest? Is the contest to see how your health insurance is? Dear Lord, the chip challenge involves eating a chip that has a Carolina Reaper and scorpion peppers in it. Now, I want to make sure we just stop for a quick second. I have walked into plenty of restaurants. I have gone to plenty of food vendors. If you have something in there that's got Reaper, or Scorpion, I'm going to give you Matt's best tip. Don't eat it, because it probably is not meant for human consumption. Really, it isn't. Carolina Reaper and Scorpion peppers. Just because some idiot goes, I'm going to do this so I can say I had scorpion pepper. Oh, enjoy the next 24 hours. They apparently, they register over 2 million in the Scoville heat units across the company's website. Now, can I also, I want to say, why are we allowing businesses to sell this? The poison control has actually chimed in on these damn chips. They have warned that eating the chips could lead to the following side effects: mouth irritation, pain, burning, intestinal discomfort. Poison Control is saying you probably shouldn't eat this. Up there with things like Drano and Pods. You probably shouldn't be munching down on these things. What do you bet there's like one kid in this group that's like, come on, man, you can do it. You can do it. And of course, that kid never took one. He just laughed about everyone else eating it. Well, I didn't do it. They did it on their own. Why are you looking at me? I didn't double dare them to do it. I didn't promise to beat them up. The health office at the school confirmed. I have no idea what happened there. Maybe it was just an alternate on the buffet line. The health office at the school confirmed to me that bring me the news that a similar incident also happened last week. According to they've done this a few times. So wait a minute. The children whisked out of the elementary school, the junior high school, at the ambulance. You saw that and you said, maybe I should try what they did. That sounds interesting. According to Pakwi, the chip should not be ingested by individuals who are sensitive to spicy foods, allergic to peppers, nightshades, capsicum, or who are minors, pregnant, or have a medical condition. Why are we allowing this to be sold around? Why? Is sensitive to spicy foods? No. Even if you like spicy foods, I love spicy food. Oh, I love good Indian food. Delicious. Oh, I love Caribbean food. Fantastic. This is not, oh, I'm just going to get the hot nachos. This is... I am doing something that's going to cause me possible irreparable damage. The poison control people have weighed in. You probably shouldn't do this. There's got to be a question here about what is this really? I mean, fine, if you want to put these into liquor stores and let some guy who's basically had a little too much Jack, you know, make the worst decision of his day, you know, knock yourself out. But I don't know. Is this really something that we should have there next to the Hostess Twinkies? I don't know if it's necessarily a good idea. And, of course, with everything bad that's happened in our society, the challenge has gained traction on social media. Great. The Southview Health Service office and staff paramedics evacuated all students who indicated they had symptoms of any kind, found no severe allergic reactions, illnesses, or injuries. The school also addressed rumors that students were removed from the school for further medical treatment, basically stating them as false. The student who brought the chips to school has been disciplined per district policy. Chips! The kid brought it. Okay, I can't believe mom and dad would allow this. All right, what would be equivalent of this? Because it's not like bringing, I mean, it is illegal to buy products, so I can't necessarily compare it to liquor or necessarily vaping or cigarettes. But, you know, I guess, what would be something comparable? I'm going to bring in a 2x4 into school, and I want you to look at the 2x4 and then whack yourself in the face really hard. And I got boards for everyone. Here, grab your board and whack yourself in the face. I don't think mom and dad knew that he brought in all the chips. I don't think he did. Please speak to your children about the dangers of participating in this and other potentially harmful internet challenges. Attempting these challenges at school is unsafe and disruptive to student learning. Parents, students who attempt such challenges at school will be disciplined according to the district policy, said Edina Public Schools in a statement. Does they have the hornet with like fire coming out of its mouth and fire coming out of its backside? that's the new student mascot over at Southview Junior High School. That would be my guess. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Wow. Speaking of getting burned, Tyler Kistner. He did. Angie Craig took him to task yesterday. They clashed over abortion, the economy, and first and only debate scheduled for the Minnesota's sole battleground congressional race. Well, I mean, once again, I love how the media kind of says, you know, oh, there's no point in we're not looking at these other races. I'm not sure Ettinger is not going to pull that one out in one, and I'm sure because that's a more Democratic district. And I'm keep an eye on eight. Keep an eye on eight. But sure, I guess the media can say, oh, it's the only battleground district. The rematch of the suburban 2nd Congressional District is expected to be one of the most competitive and expensive in the nation. Control of the U.S. House could hang in the balance. The economy and health care dominated the debate, which was hosted by the Dakota County Regional Chamber of Commerce down there in the South Metro. Kistner blames out-of-control federal spending by Democrats and lack of investment in the U.S. energy resources for inflation. Craig argued government aid during the pandemic saved businesses in the district, touted her work on a major spending bill Democrats say will reduce the deficit. On health care, Craig pointed to provision in the legislation allowing Medicare to negotiate some prescription drug prices. Kistner, who opposed that overall bill, said he wants to look at opening up more pharmaceutical markets to foreign countries. That doesn't sound horrible. You make the chip challenge sound like it's a good idea. And by the way, one of the things I find to be funny is that these guys, the Republicans, lower drug costs. You know, you just hear them say it all the time. Oh, I'm not for that. You need to pay premium price. That's what you have to do. And, you know, that's who they are. Some of the most heated exchanges were over abortion in the 2020 election. Craig blasted Kistner as too extreme for the swing district, claiming he tried to hide his abortion stance by changing his website from 2020. She pointed to National Report categorizing the Republicans as an election denier and accused him of trying to invalidate the result of the 2020 election with court challenges. So, yeah. Kistner accused Craig of being dishonest, suggested she might need a hearing aid to order to stop misrepresenting his positions. Oh, that's a – well, that wasn't a zinger. That's – you got trounced in your – hey, you're a bad person. You got you back. He said he's pro-life but supports exceptions for rape, incest, help of the mother, and he accepts that President Biden won the 2020 election. Well, you might want to tell your candidate for Secretary of State that clown car doesn't seem to have the slightest idea. Speaking to reporters at the debate, Kistner declined to say where he would support a 15-week ban introduced into the U.S. Senate. He has said he's not reviewed the bill, and it was rolled out, which was rolled out in mid-September. But once again, they like to scream abortion's not on the ballot this year. They've got a bill waiting for this next session to get in there. It's on the ballot. Voters have already been bombarded with more than $6.5 million in spending by outside groups. Most has gone on negative tax ads. Congressional Leadership Fund, the GOP-aligned group, just announced plans to pour another $900,000 into the race. It's to be seen how last week's unprecedented death of the legal marijuana now candidate, Paula Overby, will impact the contest. Another pro-legalization candidate posthumously secured nearly 6% of the vote in 2020 when Craig defeated Kistner 48-46. In recent elections, Minnesota was home to many of the four swing seats in Congress, but redistricting has shifted political winds in both directions, meaning the 2nd congressional district is now the state's only remaining true toss-up seat. Well, you know, I will say this. No, first of all, Minnesota 8 now has all the Native American, I believe, has all the Native American reservations on it, has Duluth in it. It's not exactly gotten ruby red up there. And Minnesota 1 actually definitively came more liberal. And that wasn't a big difference anyway either. So, folks, you're going to hear, I think, the media doesn't want to actually look at what's going on out there, and that is that there has been this definitive swing after the overturning of Roe v. Wade. And I have been the first to say, It comes down to how outraged Democrats are. If Democrats, if you're sitting there and that overturning of Roe v. Wade is now a, something a distant memory in your windshield, well, again, then you probably, you know, maybe you won't vote. I don't know. But the vast majority of people I know, especially in an area that the Republicans desperately need, the suburbs, are livid at the overturning of Roe v. Wade. And I want to give Angie Craig credit because Angie Craig, you know, she gets it. She gets it. This is a major issue. And the reason why there are so many people that are like, oh, why are you talking about abortion? Is because it works. Because the Republicans don't have an answer for it. Because the Republicans, their own policies are a freaking nightmare on this issue. And Angie Craig gets that. And you can learn a lot from Angie Craig because I think that the rest of the Democrats in the state should be hammering the living daylights out of this. Not only because they took a women's rights away from them, but they have vowed to take more rights away because that overrides butter costing 10 cents more per pack. It does. I would make an argument trying to overthrow the government also kind of has a tendency of negating other traditional kitchen table issues. I don't think people in this country are like, you know, I'm angry that Hitler, you know, bombed Pearl Harbor, but hey, or not, I just did the Animal House. Japan bombed Pearl Harbor, Hitler then joined the war. There we go. I'm upset Pearl Harbor got bombed and all this, but, you know, I'm still mad at FDR because soybeans cost me 3 cents more per bushel. Yeah, come on. No, when you get to things, there are sometimes things that happen which are beyond politics and beyond the kitchen table issues. Taking women's rights away with the overturning of Roe v. Wade is one of them. I will go as far as to say as well, trying to overthrow the government of the United States is another. Because I've talked to a lot of Republicans who have said, yeah, that's where they lost me. So it will be interesting to see what this election holds. But I, you know, there's a lot of news media that's trying to put out definitives. I don't think you can say these definitives quite yet. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Me like history. History good. we'll get an update on World War II and Pearl Harbor's bombing when we come on back. I'll get to the bottom of that when I do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. This just in, we beat Australia in the Revolutionary War. I went to Republican history class. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I do love when I screw up like that sometimes. So let's go back to this abortion issue because I want to go this. Do you support, this is the latest poll, do you support or oppose the decision by the U.S. Supreme Court eliminating the constitutional right to have an abortion? 64% oppose. 64%. Only 29% support. You can trim off some of that and still have a pretty overwhelming victory. You know, there are too many Democrats that try to be clever or try to be, that think that they have to be nuanced when you are handed what they call low hanging fruit that you can basically use this issue to easily attack. And they's like, oh, we can't use that. I'm stunned. I'm stunned. The Democratic Party has not released an ad. And I've talked about this ad that I wish that they would have released in Outstate, Minnesota, where it starts off with a picture of a sunset at a farm. And it has the voiceover. My family's been farming this land for 140 years. My great-great-grandfather voted Republican. My great-grandfather voted Republican. My grandfather voted Republican. My dad voted Republican. I vote Republican. My whole family does. That's why when they told us that we did not need to get vaccinated, that COVID was a myth, we believed them. Here I am today. I've lost a family member. I've had three people who are sick. I have one family member who's got long COVID, and I have more medical debt than I'll ever be able to pay, and I have to sell the family farm. I'll never trust a Republican ever again, paid for by the DFL. I don't know why that's such a hard issue, because that is what they call low-hanging fruit. they basically told their own supporters, don't worry about it. And many of them have been saddled with a lifetime of medical debt. By the way, today I went to the VA. I got my Omicron shot today. Thank you, Minnesota VA, VA Clinic. Go U.S. Army. Democrats, don't overthink this. This is real simple. A teenage Florida victim of incest was forced to travel out of state to an abortion because her state's 15-week ban that makes no exceptions for rape or incest, according to Planned Parenthood officials. The middle school student was refused the procedure in Florida after she was impregnated by a relative, Planned Parenthood of Southeast and North Florida told BuzzFeed. The cruelty of forcing a very young person who has already survived a horrible case of violence to give birth, it just takes away their rights to bodily and autonomy, said Laura Goodhue, the group's vice president of public policy. It's really turning a blind eye to what's happening in our society. The unidentified girl had to travel to a significant distance to obtain an abortion because Florida and surrounding states have adopted extreme bans in the wake of Supreme Court's decision revoking the constitutional right of abortion. Alexandra Madondo, president of Planned Parenthood in the region, pointed out a virtual press conference that children, teens, and women often have no idea they're pregnant before 15 weeks. She told the story of one young patient whose pregnancy symptoms included fatigue and nausea were written off by doctors as the effect of long COVID. By the time she came to Planned Parenthood, it was too late to get an abortion in Florida. The abortion restrictions are particularly devastating in homes driven by domestic violence, including sexual assault, where children and teens are trapped in abusive situations with no one to help them with pregnancy prevention or abortion. Pregnancy as a result of violence, is not a rare thing, said Dr. Shelley Teen at the press conference. We are seeing this restriction has profound and terrible effects on some families in the most desperate of situations. Here she is. She's a young child. She's a junior high kid who had to go, 1,000 miles? To a state that actually would say, "Oh yeah, you've been raped by a family member. You shouldn't have to carry that child to birth." And I want to make sure we're very clear about something. Scott Jensen, Jim Schultz, the Republicans running for Senate, the Republicans running for the House, the Republicans in this state want to arrest that girl for trying to come to Minnesota and get an abortion. That if Florida says you can't do it, they cross our border, they want to be able to say, we're going to charge you with a crime. That is who these people are. Their own GOP platform from earlier this year was to get rid of Doe v. Gomez, which goes and gives abortion further abortion rights in the state of Minnesota. Actually, privacy rights, as I was corrected yesterday by Jen Schultz, privacy rights, but it ensures people can basically have the decisions over their own damn bodies. And they have vowed to get rid of that. And there are Republicans across this country who are out there every single day saying that if someone tries to come to their state and get a procedure that's illegal in their state, they're going to put them in cuffs and ship them on back. A young girl who has been raped by a family member. Is abortion on the ballot this year? Damn straight it is. And if you're stupid enough to believe the Republican things like, don't worry, we're not going to do anything, then you're the person that, God forbid they win, has no right to be outraged when all of a sudden come January, what do you mean they're going to pass obscenely restrictive rules here in Minnesota? They said it wasn't on the ballot. And you know what they're banking on? They're banking on your outrage being going away like sour cream, that it expires eventually and then, oh, that's right. I don't need to get upset about this right being taken away from me again. No, it's real simple. It's really simple. Everyone votes. Everyone votes. If every Democrat votes, guess what? Democrats win. It's that simple. We'll take a break. When we come on back, Lumpy joining us, Brian Highhill, former producer and musician extraordinaire. We'll talk to him about his music. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. God, I'm actually kind of excited about talking to this guy. Brian Highhill used to produce my show years ago. God, you used to wake him up when we did the old morning grind. He left the station screaming in panic one day, and we haven't seen him since. But apparently he has turned up. He has turned up recording under the name Lumpy, and he has a brand new album out, Burn the Page. It's coming out here October 18th of Ska Punk International. He's got getting good write-ups on this stuff as well. Brian Highhill is kind enough to join us and talk about it. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for having me. Good to see you.
Oh, my God. I miss talking to you. God, it was just the second you started talking, I remember when we used to do the show together, man.
Yeah, I'm having flashbacks to 5:30 a.m., I think, circa 2016.
I appreciate all those times you put my pants on me. I really do. That was
part of the job.
There's a lot of pride in this industry. You left. I know you were doing online stuff, and when you were here with us, I know that you did a lot of music as well. You were we used to talk about Hennepin County Millionaires Club. Sunny Night, yep. And the Lakers, you did work with them. Pavel, that you did there. You, of course, you actually went on tour. You've played, you're primarily playing your horns, right? Trumpet at that point, right?
Yep, trumpet's my main instrument. Keyboards, piano, all that. I do a lot of that. And then play some drums and some other extraneous instruments as well.
You're incredibly talented. I mean, you can't.
Thank you.
And I talked about this. My son played trumpet, and it's kind of one of those things where you can't master as many instruments as you have. And I don't want to say master, but be able to proficiently play. That's, you know, it's, I don't want to give you the Pulitzer Prize quite yet. But
yeah, don't.
But you are incredibly proficient. The fact that you can play with all these artists and can play different instruments, that is a real talent. You've been blessed with a lot of natural ability there.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I think I started learning piano, so I think that helps a lot with kind of picking up other instruments and understanding the theories and concepts.
Really? It does? I know piano is one of the toughest, especially if you play any kind of rock, jazz, piano. Those are real niches which you really don't see a lot of people being able to excel in.
Yeah, it's true. You know, as far as technique goes for playing different genres, it's, you know, you got to learn a lot. But just using the instrument of the piano to be able to visually understand what notes sound like what in relation to other notes, it's probably the best instrument for that.
I will also say, too, and as your friend, I watched you for many years. And by the way, I should mention, I still owe you a breakfast. We were going to go out for breakfast, and then COVID hit. And
yeah,
you know, we kind of got a little postponed. We weren't exactly going out and dining. I still owe you a breakfast.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm hungry.
Just leave the show. Patrick, you take the show for the rest of the day. But we, you know, you did this, and I was keeping track. You had to rebuild a house. You bought a house. I got to watch you turn this basement into what I think – is that where you do most of your recording still?
Yep, the basement I turned into a recording studio.
People don't understand. You had an absolute freaking mess on your hands. As a matter of fact, you couldn't even get into the basement from upstairs. You actually had to come around to a back door when you first bought the place, right?
Yeah, it's true. There's a spiral staircase that I took out. So for a while, we had a ladder in the hole. It felt like being at the fireman's.
Hey, wait a minute. This pole doesn't work backwards up. Uh-oh, we got a problem. And I'll never forget this. I've told other people about this. You like any homeowner, you went through it and you found, what was it, a nest of mice or something that were in the walls?
Yeah, they were everywhere, overrunning the home. Wow. Not on the disclosure form, if you would guess that.
But
I took care of that issue a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. And for everyone out there, of course, all the mice now live in a happy farm out west someplace. Anyway.
Yes, they've been rehomed.
You did this. So when you built this, when you built this basement, was the idea to turn it into a full music studio?
It was. I didn't think I would have to re-pour concrete and deal with all the structural issues, but the whole plan was, yeah, to make that the music space.
You were here working, but you, of course, you worked in music for a while back. You've put out albums before under Lumpy. Yep. From Wilderness Cove in 2010, Life Man 2012. Did you put out two albums in 2020?
Yeah, kind of. One was a studio album like the previous two you just mentioned. And then the other one, I started doing this video series called Lump's House. So I put out the music that was part of that video series as an album in 2020 as well.
I talked to the guys in Dury. I've talked to the guys sometimes in the Gully Boys and stuff. I followed them. It seems like a lot of them, as musicians go, the pandemic was double-edged. Obviously, it was a pandemic. That was tough. But as well, it gave a lot of people the ability to focus directly on music. Is that the same thing that happened to you, that all of a sudden you had the ability as an artist to really start exploring things?
Leading up to the pandemic, I was, like you said earlier, I was pretty active in all these other groups. So all my energy and all my time was spent focusing on those bands and supporting those musicians. And then when the pandemic hit, there were no more shows. And so that's kind of when I started picking up doing the lumpy stuff again, because there's kind of a 6-year hiatus in there for me. It really helped me to be able to have the time to focus on my own music and the things I wanted to accomplish personally.
And did you have an idea of what you wanted to do as you kind of did that? I mean, is it obviously when you're working with yourself, you have the ability for full creative control. So did you have a direction you knew you wanted to go right away?
No, I think you typically write songs and then I'll record them and then kind of decide when in the production process of how I want everything to sound or which songs would make a good cohesive project.
Well, I saw the movie Hearts Beat Loud, which Nick Offerman plays a dad there with his daughter, but kind of a similar setup. And there seemed to be the thing I enjoyed about this, and I thought about, I was watching this movie, I thought about you directly, because I said to myself, there has got to be something fun about that. You're proficient enough in music that you can lay down your own tracks and then you can, mix them as you want. That does have to be a lot of freedom and fun, and kind of in the same sense of like any artist, whether that's a painter or a sculptor, the ability to create on that level has got to be really addictive.
It certainly is. I've lost a lot of sleep just staying up and working on music, but I think the addictive part is being able to tap into your personal creativity and figure out ways to express yourself that you're happy about. That's addicting.
Have you been down? I mean, when you were with me, you went down to New Mexico quite a bit. I wanted to get down there. I was out in the parks of the West this last summer, man. I wanted to go down and get it into New Mexico, because you've always told me I need to get down there, not just because I'm a big fan of Walter White and Breaking Bad, but as well, you've always praised it as being down there. One of your albums back in 2012, I did not know this, the New Mexico Music Awards, it was not awarded Best Pop Album down there.
Yep. Yeah, I used to live there, and I had recorded that album while I was living there. And I was nominated in a couple other New Mexico Music Awards before that. But, yeah, that album was awarded Best Pop Album.
Well, first of all, do you get down there much still, or on a regular basis, or not really?
Over COVID, I've been down there pretty regularly, but now it'll maybe be once a year for the foreseeable future.
And the reason I'm asking is this, because I know you had that New Mexico influence. And you have a Minneapolis influence, and you have your own style that comes in there. Are there two really different, distinct musical styles that you kind of can embrace that have, because of the New Mexico scene and the Minneapolis scene, it gives you a unique sound?
I don't know. I haven't thought about it that way. I'm receptive to all kinds of music, and whatever I'm influenced by, I think definitely finds a way into my own music. I guess there's probably distinct sounds I pick up on from New Mexico that I wouldn't necessarily be so into if I hadn't lived there.
I also know, it's you go through life and you've there's been, there's a musician you guys were that you were with that passed away and stuff. How does that, as life goes through, whether that's the pandemic, whether it's losing friends, talk a little bit about that, because I think one of the great things that good musicians do is take tragedy and convert it into an art form, not necessarily a positive one per se, but as well, just it gives a voice to tough times.
Yeah, a loss, as we all know, is something you'd never want to deal with, but we all do deal with it. And I think usually people can respond to that in a very good and healthy way, whether that is being sad or mad or whatever those feelings are, or a little more negative inwards towards yourself or picking up bad habits and dealing with it in that way. So I think bringing that to music, I think it brings a new voice to your creative output, whatever that is, that you wouldn't have had not dealing with that loss. Mm-hmm. So it impacts the end product, and it also can be healing just trying to find creative ways to express yourself after loss, because you're having to think about this thing and how you're processing it.
So. I always think of artists. I mean, you remember working with me. There were times I would come in here and I'd be screaming, not necessarily at you, but at the top of my lungs about an issue. And a lot of that was getting out frustration. It was a really a mess of a show, but it was fun to do it. But we'd be yelling and you know, you get it out. You deal with it. And that's how as a radio host does it. I mean, and I'm not the only one. Trust me, go listen to the other hosts. They have their ways of getting out there as well. I think that's one of the things I find, you know, something that appeals to me about musicians is that there's too many people, I think, that when grief or bad things happen, they can't vocalize it. They can't talk about it. They bury it, and it ends up breaking them to a point. And I think that for musicians to be able to do that, that is truly a talent as well, that I think is – and it's more of a human talent. It's the ability to process and find the outlet that you need to find.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And so, sometimes that means you're actually writing about it in your lyrics or something, but there's other non-lyrical ways to take those feelings and put it into the sound you're creating.
So, okay, so you're getting some press here on this new album, right?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I've had a couple premieres with singles, but I've been getting good response from it.
So, and this was it out in New York that they caught wind of it?
There's a music blog called it's brooklynvegan.com, and they premiered my first single, Houseplant, and it's a pretty underground popular music blog, so it was nice to get on there. I think that helped a little bit.
Now, you know me, Brooklyn Vegan, you say?
Yeah, I didn't make it up.
Okay. Can I make a joke, or would you be mad at me since they said some nice things about you?
No, I want to hear it.
Okay. I'm sure that's not pretentious at all.
Yeah.
Sorry. Well, but this is great. I'm first of all, I'm so happy for you. Brian, I miss you, man. You. It was a lot of fun to work with you. And you left because you had a great opportunity. And I looked at you and said, dude, man, this go. You need to go do what you need to do. And not only did you do that, but now you've got this image here, and you're being able to get the music. I imagine this has really got to be rewarding to now see you're getting some national traction with it.
Yeah, it's nice. You know, I've been doing Lumpy since 2009, and it's been a grind to try and get it past, you know, family and friends and people that naturally want to support me. Mm-hmm. So having this press and this coverage this time around is – it's just nice, reassuring, kind of gives me new energy to keep creating.
And nothing better for Halloween. Trick-or-treaters will love it if you could just give them a copy of Burn the Page, the new album out October 18th. Are you trying to do – I mean, it's a, you know, individual here. Are you able to do live shows?
Yep. I've got some live shows coming up this year in early 2000 – what year are we at? 23 here.
Yeah.
I've got a group with three other guys that want to play the song, so they're helping me out and just trying to keep the band small right now so it's easier to manage schedules and get shows. And hopefully that'll start picking up a little more.
Are you doing any of the other bands that you've done in the past, or are you kind of separated from them now?
I'm just trying to focus on my own thing at this point.
Well, and that's what you do. You know, it's, I mean, how many? That's what the natural evolution of an artist is. You kind of do these things, you do your own thing, and then you get the chance, you can do it. You're going to tell me every one of these live shows you're going to do, because you're a fool if you don't think I'm going to use this radio station for my own personal bidding. And so I will tell everyone where you're going to be having live shows, okay?
Sounds good. I'll send you that information.
We've got a song to finish out here, but I'll get this in a second. What's the song that we're going to hear at the end of this interview?
This will be Loudest of the Metaphors, which is the second of three singles leading up to the album release.
All right. We're going to listen to that leading out. Brian Highhill, and the webpage for you is lumpyrecordings.com, right?
Yep, that's correct.
I owe you breakfast, man.
All right. I'm counting on it.
I'm definitely, you and I will have time for that. Brian Highhill, Lumpy, lumpyrecordings.com. Brian, as always, you're welcome on this show anytime, my friend.
I appreciate it, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Take care. Let's listen to Brian's latest, Lumpy's latest, right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. God, I worked now, Patrick. I worked for it with Brian. God, this is back when the old morning grind days. So, and when did we stop doing that? That was, I think it was 2016. I think it was, it was 2016, early 2016. And so he was with me still, I think, until like 2017. And then he had another job and he took off. And it was, he did have a really nice job offer. So it was kind of one of those things where, I wished him all my best because, he was there. But it's been wonderful to watch. You know, he is an incredibly talented musician. And to watch him be able to go on out there and do that, I think is just been a lot of fun and very rewarding. And to see him getting success as well, I think is very cool too. So yeah, I will let everyone know. I'm going to pull links out to his website. The album comes out here on the 18th. So next Wednesday, I believe that's Tuesday. So you can get it then. And then, when he does play some live shows, you think that I'm not going to want to go to one of those live shows in a heartbeat. Maybe we should do, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to pull that back really quick. Yes. I know that I don't want to get in trouble with something. So no, but good to see it. And I'm dead serious too. I have been very grateful for some of the music that I have heard in the last year, because there have been some brilliant musicians who were basically had time to kill while they stayed in quarantine and stayed in their houses and avoided the public and were able to put out a lot of good music and very enjoyable music as well. And so I'm very grateful for that. Now, Todd is filling in for me all next week and then next Monday as well. I am going to be gone for a little bit. MEA weekend. I got some time with the kids. I'm just going to go out, as I mentioned earlier, I'm just going to go out there and have fun and enjoy that. We've got to dance into the weekend though. Oh, why not? It's Lotto, big energy. Oh, this is the clean version, right? Yes. Have a great weekend. We are going to be back in a little bit. Until then, see ya. You got big energy. It ain't too many of them that can handle me. But I might let you try it off the Hennessy.
sexy. Make them sing to this thing like a melody. And if your girl ain't right, I got the remedy. It ain't too many of them that can handle me. Bad chick, I could be a fantasy. Tell me how you want it. 3, 2, 1, and I'm on it. Feel good, don't it? Hood chick, you in a bunny. I'ma bust it on the pole like honey. Aren't you being honest? Juicy, mini made, but can't do it one mini man. Not a side or a main. I'm the only one he entertain. Spending his mind in the bank. I like what I see. A boss like you need a boss like me. Daddy from the street, so he move low key. Tryna rock that mic like karaoke. On the count of three, bad get money. Broke to the left, we don't want it. I'm the one they love to hate, but they can't get past. Pretty face, no waste, and a big old bag. Bad chick, I could be a fantasy. I could tell you got big, big energy. It ain't too many of them that can handle me. But I might let you try it off the Hennessy. Make them sing to this thing like a melody. And if your girl ain't right, I got the remedy. It ain't too many of them that can handle me. Bad chick, I could be a fantasy. How you want it? 3, 2, 1, camera rolling. Do it slow motion. Real chick. Them up on it. All they big talk, Lotto put them on it. Aren't you being honest? Lingerie, Dolce, blindfold. Tie me to the bed while we role play. Can't skill foreplay, kiddo, kitty, cold case. I'm about shit, but tonight we do it your way. On the count of three, bad, get money. Broke to the left, we don't want it. If you ever see me broke, I'm probably rocking the cast. Pretty face, no waist with a big old bag. Bad chick, I could be a fantasy. I could tell you got big, big energy. It ain't too many of them that can handle me. But I might let you try it off the Hennessy. Make them sing to this thing like a melody. And if your girl ain't right, I got the remedy. It ain't too many of them that can handle me. Bad chick, I could be a fantasy.